5. The anti-war and civil rights movements. In George Orwell's 1984, one of the four main Oceanian ministries is the Ministry of Peace, which oversees the party's military affairs. The inverted meaning of its name actually contains profound meaning. When one's strength is inferior to that of the enemy, the best strategy is to proclaim one's desire for peace. Extending an olive branch is the best way to hide imminent war. The Soviet Union and other communist countries were and continue to be adept practitioners of this strategy, which is employed to infiltrate the West. The World Peace Council was formed in 1948. Its first chairperson was French physicist Joliot Curie, a member of the French Communist Party. World War II had just ended, and the United States was still the only country to have produced and tested the atomic bomb. Having suffered huge losses in the war, the Soviet Union aggressively promoted world peace as a stratagem to stave off pressure from the West. The World Peace Council was directly controlled by the Soviet Peace Commission, an organization affiliated with the Soviet Communist Party. It ran a worldwide narrative proclaiming the Soviet Union to be a peace-loving country and condemning the United States as a hegemonic warmonger. High-ranking Soviet official and ideological leader Mikhail Suslov promoted a struggle for peace that became a fixture of Soviet rhetoric. The present anti-war movement testifies to the will and readiness of the broadest masses of the people to safeguard peace and to prevent the aggressors from plunging mankind into the abyss of another slaughter, Suslov wrote in a 1950 propaganda tract. The task now is to turn this will of the masses into active, concrete actions aimed at foiling the plans and measures of the Anglo-American instigators of war. The Soviet Union sponsored a multitude of organizations and groups such as the World Federation of Trade Unions, World Youth Association, International Women's Federation, International Federation of Journalists, World Democratic Youth Alliance, World Association of Scientists and the like, to support the claims of the World Peace Council. World peace became one of the front lines in the communist public opinion war against the free world. Vladimir Bukovsky, a prominent Soviet dissident, wrote in 1982 that members of the older generation can still remember the marches, the rallies, and the petitions of 1950s. It is hardly a secret now that the whole campaign was organized, conducted, and financed from Moscow, through the so-called Peace Fund and the Soviet-dominated World Peace Council. Communist Party USA General Secretary Gus Hall said, "There is a need to expand the fight for peace, escalate it, involve more people, and make it the hot topic in every community, every people's group, every trade union, every church, every family, every street, and every site where people gather." The Soviets pushed the struggle for peace movement in three waves during the course of the Cold War, with the first being in the 1950s. The second climax was the anti-war movement of the 1960s and 1970s. According to the testimony of Stanislav Lunov, a former officer of the Soviet GRU, military intelligence, who defected from Russia to the United States in 1992. The amount of money the Soviet Union spent on anti-war propaganda in Western countries was double its military and economic support to North Vietnam. He said that the GRU and KGB financed almost all anti-war movements and groups in the United States and other countries. Ronald Radosh, a former Marxist and activist during the anti-Vietnam War movement, admitted that our intention was never so much to end the war as to use anti-war sentiment to create a new revolutionary socialist movement at home. The third major anti-war movement took place during the early 1980s when the United States deployed intermediate-range nuclear missiles in Europe. Anti-war protesters demanded that both the Soviet Union and the United States limit their nuclear arsenals, but the Soviet Union never abided by any international treaties. A study conducted by the U.S. Senate Judicial Committee in 1955 found that in the 38 years since the founding of the Soviet regime, it had signed nearly 1,000 bilateral or multilateral treaties with various countries around the world, but breached nearly all the promises and agreements it made. The authors of the study noted that the Soviet Union was probably the least trustworthy of all major nations in history. Trevor Loudon said that during the 1980s, New Zealand's anti-nuclear movement was covertly sponsored by the Soviet Union using trained special agents. As a result, New Zealand withdrew from the Australia-New Zealand-United States Security Treaty, ANZUS or ANZUS Treaty, directly exposing this small country with a population of less than 4 million people to the threat of communism. After the 9/11 attacks, there were a series of large-scale anti-war demonstrations and protests in the United States. Behind these demonstrations were organizations closely related to communists. Even the highly acclaimed American civil rights movement was influenced by the specter of communism. Comparing the communist revolutions in China, Cuba, and Algeria, The American thinker G. Edward Griffin discovered that the civil rights movement in the United States followed the same general pattern. In the first stage, people were divided into different and mutually conflicting groups. In the second stage, a united front was established to create an illusion of universal support and move against the opposition in the third stage. The fourth stage was to incite violence. The fifth stage was to launch a coup and seize power under the guise of revolution. Starting from the late 1920s, the Communist Workers' Party discovered the great potential for revolution among black Americans. They called for the establishment of a Soviet Negro Republic in the middle of the South, which was home to many blacks. A communist propaganda handbook published in 1934, The Negroes in a Soviet America, proposed a combined racial revolution in the South with the overall proletarian revolution. The civil rights movements in the United States in the 1960s received support from the Soviet and Chinese Communist parties. When Leonard Patterson, a black man and former member of the Communist Party USA who received training in Moscow, withdrew from the CPUSA, he testified that insurrection and rioting among American blacks enjoyed the party's strong support by the U.S. Communist Party. Both he and CPUSA General Secretary Gus Hall had been to Moscow to receive training. The intensification of the civil rights movement also coincides with the CCP's campaign to export revolution. In 1965, the CCP put forward the slogan of International Revolution, calling upon the broad countryside of Asia, Africa, and Latin America to surround the international cities of Western Europe and North America, just as the CCP had first taken over the countryside, then defeated the Kuomintang and the cities during the Chinese Civil War. The most violent organizations in the Black People's Rights Movement, such as the Revolutionary Action Movement and the Maoist Black Panthers, were all supported or directly influenced by the CCP. The Revolutionary Action Movement advocated violent revolution and was considered a dangerous extremist organization by the mainstream society. It was disbanded in 1969. From its form to its teachings, the Black Panthers looked up to the CCP as their role model, with slogans such as "Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun," and "All power belongs to the people." The quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong was a must-read for all members. Like the CCP, the Black Panthers advocated violent revolution. One of its leaders, Eldridge Cleaver, predicted in 1968 a wave of terror, violence, and guerrilla warfare. At many black gatherings, participants waved the Little Red Book, quotations from Chairman Mao. The Sea of Red bore a striking resemblance to the scenes seen in China around the same time. Although many of the appeals of the civil rights movement have been accepted by mainstream society, the radical black revolutionary ideology has not disappeared. It has recently resurfaced as the Black Lives Matter movement. People all around the world wish for peace, and pacifism is an ancient ideal. In the 20th century, people of great vision and compassion dedicated their efforts to reduce misunderstanding and conflict among nations. Due to historical circumstances, racial discrimination does exist in the United States and other Western countries. People try to eliminate racial discrimination through education, media, and protests, all of which are understandable. But the specter of communism takes advantage of the ideological trends and social conflicts in Western countries. It sows discord, incites hatred, and creates violence while deceiving and manipulating masses of people who initially harbored no ill intent.